Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins with the Mishnah that you find on the upper part of Daf Kuf Chof Gimel. Before learning the Mishnah, we would like to recommend having available the Sefer, the book of illustrations that accompany Maseches Chulin, the book Sichas Chulin, authored by Amitai Ben David. For this particular sugya in particular, this book will be of great assistance. We have a topic heading that accompanies this Mishnah. In our Gemara markings, the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, provides topic headings and structural notes from time to time in the outside margin of your daf. In this case, you can see we've written the word Nosei, indicating a topic heading, and we've written the following. Hamafshit Behema, when one is skinning an animal, removing the skin from an animal. Ad kamo nechshav ho'or hamufshot chibur. Up to what point is the skin that's basically attached to the animal but being removed, how much of it is considered an attachment? Beyond which point it would then be considered detached. The practical bearing or practical outcome of this information is twofold. One is lahachnis tuma labosar. If, let us say, you were skinning a kosher type animal properly slaughtered, the animal, the meat of the animal, represents food that's tohor, that's ritually pure. Let us say a person or an item that is tomei came into contact with the skin as the animal was being skinned. Will the tumah be communicated to the animal? And hence, will the meat become tomei? Well, this is dependent on, do we consider the point of contact with the tumah as being considered contact with the animal? Is the skin that's being removed, being separated, considered still attached to the flesh? If it's still considered attached to the flesh, it would function as a conduit of tumah and conduct the tumah to the flesh. If it's been significantly removed, even though the other end is still attached to the animal's body, since a sufficient amount of skin has been removed, the fact that the other end of it is still attached would not constitute a yad anymore. A yad, the handle or conduit of tumah. There's another practical application of our sugya, and that is benevela. If the animal that is being skinned is a nevela, this is particularly the case if you're dealing with the skinning of an unkosher variety animal. We know that an unkosher variety animal, even if it has been properly slaughtered, nevertheless it's called a nevela, and as such, it's tomei. And anyone who has contact with the body will become tomei. So that the tumah is, in the case of nevela, conducted outwards from the animal to that which touches it, that which is tor that comes into contact. In our sukkah, we're dealing with having contact with the skin that is in the process of being removed. Is that considered contact with the nevela or not? Or do we view the skin that has been removed from the animal, even though the other end is still attached to the animal, but do we consider it as a separate entity, and hence will and hence not able to conduct the tumas nevela from the body to the to that which is touching the other edge of the skin? Let us now read the Mishnah. Hamafshit bevehema ubechaya, one who is involved with the skinning of a domesticated and undomesticated type animal, betoro v'tameo, whether it be kosher variety or unkosher variety, bedaku v'gaso, whether it be small animals, sheep and goats, or large animals, as is the case with cows. Now, the issue depends on what is your goal in the skinning. Lishatiach, if you're removing the skin of the animal to serve as a, let's say, a flat piece of leather or a flat piece of skin, like in the case of a rug or a tablecloth, then we say kedei achiza. The amount that is referred to by this term kedei achiza will be a discussion point in the Gemara later on, but literally it means enough skin that would enable one to grab it. In other words, if the animal that's being skinned is just being started, the skinning is just starting, and it reaches a point of removal that you could thereby grab the skin, using the literal translation, up till the point known as kedei achiza, it's still considered attached. We can say that kedei achiza would represent a couple inches of removed skin. So that even though just a little bit, an inch or two, has been removed, if one, let's say, something that is tome, touches that edge of skin that's been removed, it will communicate tuma to the meat of the animal. However, if more than kedei achiza has been removed, then contact with the with that edge of skin certainly will not be able to communicate tuma to the animal. There is more to say on this point, but we'll leave that for the Gemara. A second example, ulechemas. Let's say you're skinning the animal so as to use the skin as a jug. In that case, there is an attempt to remove the skin from the animal and preserve it whole. In other words, one would mafshit it from the head, gradually peeling it away from the body while trying to keep it whole. So then we say that the skin is still considered attached or an extension of the animal, ad shiyafshit es achoze, until you remove the skin, until the skin is peeled away from its choze, or chest area. Hamargil, this is another form of skinning, which also attempts to preserve the skin in its entirety. The special feature here is that the skinning starts from the feet, and you work your way down, starting from the hind legs, removing the skin while trying to preserve it whole. So we say then, kulo chibur latumo litame ulatame. Even though you have removed the majority of the skin, you've peeled it away, it's still considered attached until you practically finish the job. The Rashi points out, Hamargil shehischu lechoitchoi meiragleo. You start cutting away the skin from its legs. Klapei rosho, the legs being suspended in air and the head facing downwards, so you're removing it, pulling the skin away, peeling it away toward its head. Umafshita kofel lechemas, and you skin it in a complete fashion for the purpose of making a jug out of it. Kulo chibur mipnei shachoze lesoif hefsheitohu. It's considered attached, even though you have removed the majority of the skin up till the chest, which is facing downwards, it's still considered attached. Lefikach kulo chibur, since the chest is basically the end of the skinning, so it's still considered an attachment until that point. Af b'or hamufshot kinogea v'hanogea, af b'or hamufshot kinogea b'bosor. And therefore, one who touches the skin, let us say someone who is tamei, who touches the skin that's already been removed, if the area around the chest is still attached to the animal, so tumah will be communicated from the person who is tamei to all of the meat. Continuing in the Mishnah, we should point out that the expressions of li tamei ula tamei, we addressed earlier, li tamei would mean for the animal to become tamei, and if you're dealing with a nevela, so that's li tamei, for it to cast its tumah outwards to something that's tohor, that is touching it. Or sha'al hatsavor. The skin that is around the neck. Rabbi Yochanan Uri Omer, Eino Chibur. It's not considered attached. Even though it's physically attached, once you reach the point of the neck area, so you've skinned the animal up till the point that you have reached the neck, it will, as Rashi says, it will peel off by itself. Therefore, it's not considered an attachment. So that in the case we had, let's say, of Hamargil, even though the Mishnah said Kulo Chibur, according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri, if you removed the skin, starting from the hind legs, working your way down toward the head, which is facing downwards, you've peeled away the skin that was attached to the chest. Even though it's still attached around the neck, at that point, it's not considered a chibur, an attachment anymore. The chachomim disagree and say, chibur ad shiyafshit es kuloi. It's considered an attachment until you entirely remove it. Now, the Gemara asks, let us say you have removed more than a kedei achiza. You're skinning it, and you've already removed those first few inches of skin from the flesh. Mikan v'eilich mai. What is the din regarding the skin that has been peeled away once you pass the quantity, the distance or the amount known as kedei achiza? Two opinions. Omar Rav, Tohor Hamufshat. Once you have peeled away more than the amount mentioned in the Mishnah, then it's considered detached. In other words, all of the skin is considered detached up till the point that it is actually adhering or attached to the flesh. So that, as we've said before, if let us say you're dealing with a tohor animal, everything is tohor meat, and something that's tomei touches any point of the skin that is no longer adhering to the flesh, there will be no communication of tuma. Rav Asi disagrees. Rav Asi Omar, tefach hasomuch labosor tomei. The hand breath, the tefach, which has been removed, but it's the tefach closest to the point of adhesion, that will function as a yad, and it will conduct tumah to the flesh. If we glance at Rashi, tefach min ha'or hamufshot, somuch lebosor, lomokom chibur, svivois kulo, have beis yad. The tefach closest to the point of attachment or of heat, adhesion, is considered a beis yad, like a handle, and a conductor of tumah. The animal will become tomei, mipnei shetzorich lo he needs that flap of skin that's a tefach closest to the animal, sha'oichiz sham, u'moishech u'mafshit me'elov. He grabs that and pulls it, and the skin peels away. U'larav, lav yad choshiv lei. According to Rav, he does not look at that as a handle. Elohim Kane, that something is not considered a yad, Elohim Kane, metaltalin boy esa'oichal, unless it's used for carrying the food. In this case, the skin is not, the grabbing of the skin is not for the purpose of moving around the animal. The grabbing of the skin is for the purpose of skinning it. Therefore, according to Rav, it does not constitute a yad. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice triangles. In the outside margin, under our Mivneh heading, we have a triangle featured, and we've explained they represent Kushos al Rav Asi. We will raise objections to Rav Asi. She'omar, Rav Asi said, "De tamid tefach hasamuch lebosar tamei gam achar shiv shitfei mehashurim b'mishna." Rav Asi says that even though you've gone beyond the dimensions, the distances, or the measures mentioned in the Mishnah, the tefach that remains, the tefach closest to the point that there is a connection, even though that tefach, that handbreadth amount of skin has already been removed, but it's the tefach closest to the point of adhesion, that any contact there will conduct tumah to and from the animal. We now challenge that. Meisvei hamafshit kishur hazeh. If one has skinned this amount, the kidei achiza, mikan ve'elech hanugeba mufsho tohor. Any, from that point onwards, any contact with the skin that has been removed, that's been peeled away, there is tara. In other words, there's no communication of tuma. My lav afilu betefach hasomach lebosar. When it says mikan ve'elech, any contact will result in tahara, meaning no conduction of tuma. Does that not imply also the tefach closest to the point of adhesion, which would be a kashan Rav Asi? Loi levad mitefach hasamach lebosar. When it says that one who touches the skin that's mufshat, it's there will be tara. That's tara. That's true, with the exception of that of that tefach that's closest to the meat, that's closest to the point of adhesion. Toshma. So we try again, raising another question. Be'or shekeneged habosar tomei. If one touches the skin that is opposite the meat, then there will be conduction of tuma. We then draw an inference. Or shekeneged habosar tomei, the skin that's opposite the flesh, that in fact communicates tuma. Ha, but tefach hasamuch lebosar tor. However, a tefach that's not, that's been peeled away, even though it's within a tefach of the flesh itself, it will be tor, which would be unlike Rav Asi. The Gemara says, Tana, the Tana, we just read a little source that we have in a frame, that Tana called tefach hasamuch lebosar, any handbreadth closest to the meat, or shekeneged habosar korile, it will be referred to as skin opposite the meat, even though it's technically speaking been peeled away, but since it's that final tefach that's closest to the flesh, it's considered, or shekeneged habosar, it's considered like a skin that's opposite the meat. Toshma, we raise once again akasha. The source says, and this is a quote from our Mishnah, it's a quote from our Mishnah, to the point that, let's be more accurate, it's a paraphrase of our Mishnah, it's a brisa, but it's more clear than the Mishnah, as you will see shortly. Hamafshit bivehemo ubechayo b'torah tameo bedako v'gasa, one who is involved with skinning an animal, as we explained in the Mishnah, lishotiach kidei achiza. If you have removed skin, but not more than kidei achiza, so there will be communication of tumah. The tefach hasomuch lebosor tohor. Now, this source seems to be clear, and it says that the tefach that has been skinned, even though it's the tefach closest to the point of adhesion, that tefach that's next to the basar, the tefach that's been skinned, that's closest to the basar, tohar. So that we would see from this source that if you have removed a kedei achiza, then even the tefach that's somuch of the basar will be tohar, which will be unlike Ravasi. The Gemara answers on behalf of Ravasi, hocha b'mayaskinon, but tefach rishain. This source that says tefach asamuch lebosu tor is talking about a case of the tefach rishon. What this means is, well, we're talking about a case that only two tefach of skin have been removed. Rashi explains this at some length, this answer. If you have a situation where only two tefach of skin have been removed, the person involved with the skinning doesn't really grab onto the skin. He uses a knife to cut away until he reaches a point that, let us say, three tefach of skin have been removed. At that point, he then grabs the tefach that's somuch lebasar, the tefach closest to the meat. Once again, let's just go over the scenario. Three tefach have been removed. At that point, if you grab the one tefach closest to the meat, you basically have two more tefachim of skin on the other side of your hand, which serves as a sort of a type of weight that the weight of the extra two tefach of skin plus your drawing efforts makes the skinning easier. So it's regarding that case that three tefach of skin have been removed. Rav Asi then says his din that the tefach hasamuch lebosar is tomei. However, prior to that, if you, let us say, have removed, as we said in our example, two tefach of skin, then the tefach that's closest to the tefach hasamuch lebosar will in fact be tahor, as we explained, because the tefach hasamuch the boser at that point is not really of any use to him, and hence it does not serve as a yad. Maybe it would be worth our while to learn the Rashi inside on this point. So we're looking at Rashi, the tefach rishon hasamuch likedei achiza, the tefach closest to the tefach that is adhering to the animal. Kegoi shelo hishelo tefachayim. For example, a case where only two tefach of skin have been removed. The oisa tefach hasomuch lichdei achiza, the tefach that's closest to that final tefach that's at which point you then have adhesion. Einu oches bo umoshech, that second tefach he doesn't grab on. Lefi shenoyach lo lechos b'sfasa or v'limshoch v'loze toivloi. Elo mafshit besakin. At the point that only two tefach of skin have been removed, he will use a knife to peel away the skin from the flesh. But at the point that he's already peeled away three or four tefachim, va'or hamufshat machbit klapei mato, that skin which has already been skin peeled away, then serves as a weight flapping over downwards. Then oiches betefach hasomach lebasar umoshech. Then he grabs the tefach closest to the flesh and draws on it. The kovid ha'or misayo, and the weight of the other two tefachim that have already been removed serve as a weight upon which gravity has its effect, and it assists in the skinning. So the source that says tefach hasomach lebasar tor, in order to defend Rav Asi, it's describing a scenario where only two tefach of skin have been removed. Under those circumstances, Rav Asi himself concedes that the tefach hasomach lebasar will be of no significance as a yad. Tana, kamo kedei achiza. This brief Tanaic source raises the question, how much is called kedei achiza? Answer, tefach. The Gemara asks, v'hot tanya tvochayim, but there's another Tanaic source that says kedei achiza is two tefachs. Amar Abaye, tefach kaful. That when the first source said kedei achiza's tefach, it really means a double tefach. Tanya nami hochi, another Tanaic source that supports Abaye's answer. Kama kedei achiza, tefach kaful. How much is meant by kedei achiza? A double tefach. Now it appears to me that in accordance with the Rashi that we learned just before, that up till the point that two tefach have been removed, up till that point is what's called kedei achiza. However, as far as Rav Asi's din is concerned, only once you've gone beyond that, let's say you've reached three tefachim of skin removal, then Rav Asi's din kicks in that says that the tefach hasomach lebasar will be a yad, will conduct tumah. Before going on in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. Talis shehoya tomei. A garment made of fabric that was tomei, shehischil korah, that he once started to rip. Im korah ruba tahora. If the majority of it has been ripped, it achieves tahara, which would mean that even without bringing it to a mikveh, it would stand to reason that since the majority has been ripped, it achieves tahara. Tanan hasam, talis shehischil ba lekora. There was a talis that was tomei, and he started ripping it. Kevan shenikra ruba, shuv eino chibur utahora. Once you have ripped more than the majority of it, it is no longer considered a chibur. It's no longer considered a garment utahora, and that will in effect remove the tumah that may have been upon this talis. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Baravua Loi Shanu Elo Betalis Tvulas Yoim. The teaching of this source that said Kevach Nikra Ruba Shuvenu Chibur, this applies only to a talis that was a Tvul Yom. What does that mean? It means that the day that the ripping took place took place on the day that it was previously immersed in a mikveh. So that you had a garment that you were willing to subject it to the water of the mikveh, which in effect it damages the garment, but he does it anyway. So we say that a garment that was immersed in the mikveh in anticipation of it achieving tara, if instead of waiting till sundown, which would be the standard approach, he couldn't wait till sundown. He needed this talis for things that need to be kept tahar. So the teaching tells us once rove is cut, it's tahar. And Rav Nachman is telling us that this din of rove being cut, that is tahar, applies only in the case that the talis itself had been immersed that day in a mikveh. The migu de lochos alah the apala, we can say that since the owner is not worried about the garment and protective concerning the garment insofar as that he was willing to immerse it, so because of that we will tell you that the subsequent ripping of it, where you rip the majority, will enable it to achieve tahara. Tahara meaning that you don't have to, then you wouldn't have to wait till sundown, which otherwise is the normal procedure. Aval talis she'eno tvulas yom lo. Rav Nachman is telling us that a talis that, let us say, was tomei from the day before, and he comes along to mitire it simply by ripping the majority of it, Rav Nachman tells us that the ripping of the majority will not enable it to achieve purification as tahara. Why not? Even though in general, if you were to ruin the majority of the vessel, in this case the talis, that would enable it to achieve tahara. So he says, gzeira dilma lo osi lemikra ruba. This fellow, who we haven't seen to treat the talis, let's say, without excessive care, we're afraid that if he is told he can achieve tahara by tearing rove, he might not tear even the rove. He'll tear at best half, and he'll claim that he tore rove. Now, to go over this point, according to Rav Nachman, the only time we rely on a person doing a rip of a majority, which would enable it to achieve tahara, this is only in a case where you're dealing with a garment that very day had been immersed in a mikveh, which shows that this person isn't so protective of the article, of the talis, and therefore when he wants to use it before sundown and he relies on the ripping of it, we will rely on him to tear the majority. Omar Rabba. Rabba attacks the Hesber of Rav Nachman. But before we go on any further, we should take note of some of the markings. We have now encountered a diamond. This is explained under our Mivneh heading, Lo Shanu. You'll notice that this expression, Lo Shanu, appears a few times as we go on to Amud Beis. This expression, Lo Shanu, are Hagbolois, restrictions. Mosai Amrinon Desagi Bekriyas Ruba. Under what circumstances do we say that tearing the majority of the Tomei Talis will result in it achieving Tahara? So, according to Rav Nachman, which represented the first of what we'll be numbering off as three qualifications, Rav Nachman says that the din of Kriyas Rov works only if it's a Talis Tfulas Yom, that it's a Talis that was immersed that day in a mikveh. We have a little note that's accompanied by this double star, which reads as follows: Anu mamlitzim likro koidim es gimel hameros lo shanu. We recommend first reading the three statements that are introduced by the expression of lo shanu hamesumonois with the diamond, kidei lirois es retzev hagbolos legabi kriyas ruba beem ke'em tzoi letahara. qualifications or restrictions of when we allow the tearing of the majority to be a means of achieving Tara. After we present these three qualifications, we then go back, and as we've written, V'achakach lumod ha-sugya beretzef, then to go through the sugya straight through. So the first qualification, which was brought to us by Rav Nachman, the Gemara says that this the tearing, the majority, is effective only if it's a garment that was immersed that day in a mikveh. The idea being that if a person is not so careful and protective of the article that he was willing to subject it to the water, which is injurious to the fabric, he likewise can be trusted to do a ripping that would be more than half. As per our recommendation, if we skip to Amud Beis, about halfway down the page, you'll see a number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and also on that line a diamond, in which Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yossi that lo shanu elo shelo shir bo kedei maforas. You can rely on the tearing of the majority. In other words, if the majority of the talus is torn, we say you'll achieve tara for the garment, provided that the amount that remains intact is not enough to make a maforas. A maforas is a turban, that's an article of clothing. If there remains an amount of garment that has not been ripped, that one could fashion from it a maforas, then the ripping, though it's more than half, will not be effective in achieving tara. And finally, the third qualification, brought in the name of Reish Lakish, that this din of tearing a majority will mitayer, is true if you're dealing with fabric. But if you're dealing with leather, then even though a minority remains intact, nevertheless, it's considered a solid attachment, and hence you can't rely on the fact that rove was cut. At this point, we turn our attention to the second line from the bottom of our Kufchav Gimel Amud Aleph. Omar Rabo Shtei Tshuvas Badova. Rabo attempts to challenge Rav Nachman on two counts. As the Gemara unfolds, after Rabo raises his objections to Rav Nachman, we will then see Rav Yosef respond to Rabo. So, turning to our Gemara, Omar Rabo, Shtei Tshuvos Badover. I want to raise two objections, two responses to what has been taught. Chada, one objection is Shema Yomru Tevila Bas Yoima Oilo. People, if they see the ripping of the garment and then subsequent use of it, people will think that it was actually immersed that day, and that a level of tara is achieved by the immersion earlier on that day. And we know that that's not true. We know that immersion in the mikveh in and of itself does not achieve tara. One would have to wait till sundown. Let us look at the Rashi toward the end of the page. Chado betfulas yoyim leko lukmuhat. To set up like Rav Nachman did, that the source was talking about a talis that was immersed that day in the mikveh. Leko luukmo, you can't set up the source that way. Ulishtamish bo biyoyim shit bila, and then to go ahead and use it on the same day that it had been immersed. Sharoya ain't a maven bo shenikro litayer. The onlooker doesn't realize that it was ripped in order to achieve tara. v'savur, and he will think that if he sees me on any other day tearing it and then using it, savur al yedei tfilasa mishtam shinba v'yomru tvila bas yoma oila b'lo herav shemesh. Let's go over this point a little more accurately and say that people who see me ripping the garment and then using it that day, people don't realize that the tearing is the thing that made it tahor, but they'll think that the tevila done that day without waiting for sundown is itself effective. That's one objection that Rabbo raises, and that is that people will get the wrong idea. They'll think that they'll not realize that the tearing is that which granted Tahara status, but they'll think that he had gone to mikveh, immersing in the mikveh was sufficient. So according to Rabbo, you'll have to explain this source involving the talis, the majority of whom was ripped. You'll have to say that it was torn the day after the tumah was experienced. Since it's on a day after the tumah was experienced, people who see him using it, they will say, if it's the worst case scenario is, they'll say, well, it was immersed yesterday. So to go over this last point, Rabbo is saying that if we were to rely or follow Rav Nachman's understanding, and Rav Nachman's understanding was that we're talking about a talis that was immersed that day in the mikveh, that will lead people to think that immersion in the mikveh itself achieves tahara. Therefore, says Rabbo, that I'm not going to explain the case, the source, the way Rav Nachman did. But rather, and here you don't have this in the words of the Gemara, but rather we're talking about a talis that became tomei on a previous day. And on the subsequent day, I tear it and then use it. No kind of mistake will arise. People will see me using it today, thinking that I was toivel it on the previous day and having. In fact, toiveled it, putting it immersed in the mikveh, and then having sundown, that would have worked. V'oid, and furthermore, my second objection, says Rabbo, to Rav Nachman's approach, is that if you, Rav Nachman, are, let us say, nervous about someone not doing the required amount, the 51% ripping, well then, oilas ha'oif the Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. Oilas ha'oif is a ola bird offering. The ola bird offering, unlike the chatos bird offering, the ola bird offering needs two of its neck organs, two of them to be severed in the malika process. According to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon, the ola bird offering is acceptable only if you do a majority and not more, in other words, and not do a complete severing. So according to Rav Zerv Shimon, there is an expectation for you to do only rove of the neck organs in the malikas oilas ha'if. Well, if we were to adopt Rav Nachman's approach, ligzar Dilmalo osi lemevad roiv shnayim, we should impose a gzera, a restriction, in anticipation of him not doing the majority. Just like we saw in the case of the talis, that according to Rav Nachman, we're not going to rely on him tearing the majority, because he might be chosal bigdo and tear less than he is expected to because of his concern for preserving the garment. So following that sentiment, so Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, shouldn't allow the olas ha'of to be eaten because there should be a gzeira imposed that he might not do the required rov. Omar lei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes into this Gemara as a response to Rabba. And Rabba had come in as a challenge to Rav Nachman. So as we said, Rav Yosef responds to Rabba and says, "The Ko'amr Gzeiro Shema Yomru Tevila Bas Yoma Oila." You who had challenged Rav Nachman, saying that, well, if you follow Rav Nachman's approach, people will think that that same day immersion is effective. I'm not worried about that. In other words, Rav Yosef is saying to Rabbo, I'm not worried about what you're worried about. Kira mochiach oleha. The tear will show us that he's not relying on the mikveh to be the source of purification, but rather something else, and in fact that something else is the rip. So since we're dealing with a ripped garment, I'm not worried that people are going to say that the same day tevila is the metahir. Udoko amris, and your second objection was oilas ha'oif l'rabbozer v'shimon ligzar. According to Rabbozer v'shimon, we should not allow the processing of an olas ha'of. There is no worry. Kohanim zrizin hein. Kohanim who process the olas ha'of are very diligent, and therefore, since a majority of the two neck organs is required, you can rely on them to do it. So, up till this point, then Rav Nachman's din remains intact. As we go on in the Gemara, we see triangles. These triangles represent kushyos al Rav Nachman. You'll notice under our Mivneh heading, we've written on the outside margin. These are challenges to Rav Nachman. De Gozar, Rav Nachman, who had imposed Gezerah, Mivneh, De Choshash, Shloyase, Kefi, Hashir, Shadorush. He had said that relying on a rip is not good because people might not do the amount they were required to do. In this case, they might not do the majority as they are expected to do. That's Rav Nachman's approach. Now, we're going to challenge Rav Nachman, who, as we said, was nervous that people won't do what is required of them. Toshma. Hamafshit bivehemo ubechayo tmeo betmeo betoro bedaku vegaso lishotiach kideachiza. Now this is a quote from our Mishnah. In it we see that there is considered a chibur up till the point of kideachiza. We can infer ha yeser michdei achiza tohor. If more than a kedei achiza of skin has been removed, has been skinned, so then there is no more fear of tumah being conducted. Well, am I? Why, according, if we were to follow Rav Nachman's approach, why do you rely on this? Why do you allow this? Ligzar, we should impose a gezera. Dilma lo asi lemevan elo kidei achiza vekonoga bituma vekomitarinon lei. Just like we saw Rav Nachman was afraid that, in other words, we won't let you rely on rov because you might do less than rov, so too let us not allow the person to touch in a state of tuma, thinking that there is more than a kedei achiza that has been skinned, because maybe there is only a kedei achiza, and he will think that more than a kedei achiza was done, and will declare him tohar when in fact he is not. Yet we see that we're not worried about that. So this is a kashon Rav Nachman. The Gemara answers, E betuma d'oraisa hochi nami. If our Mishnah was dealing with a Torah level tumah, then in fact we would impose a gezerah. We would impose a restriction and not allow contact with a situation where more than a kedei achiza was done. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Mishnah is talking about the tumah de rabbonon. We're talking about a case of rabbinic level tumah, and therefore we can be lenient and say that if more than a kedei achiza was skinned, so there will be no more conduction of tumah. Well, to say that our Mishnah is talking about rabbinic level tumah, tenach tomei b'tahora, that will be fine as far as the case of tomei b'tahora is concerned, meaning that the person who is touching the animal, he is tomei, a rabbinic level of tumah, as is explained in the Maseches Shabbos. There are many different cases of rabbinic level tumahs that a person may have absorbed, and he's touching an animal which is tohor, and we say that if more than a kedei achiza has been skinned, then this rabbinic level person will not be able to communicate tumah to the animal. However, and by the way, that's implied by the term, or this situation is referred to by the term of li tame, where the animal will not become tame. However, the Mishnah also spoke about li tame tohor b'tameo, the case though of someone who's tohor, who the question is, will he become tame from the animal which is tameo? Well, that's tumah doraisahi. That's called tumas nevela. So that, how can you set up the Mishnah as talking about rabbinic level tumah when the issue of litame comes up? As you saw in the Mishnah, the fourth line of the Mishnah, at the end of the line, you saw the expression there was litame for the animal who was taught to become tame. That we said you can explain on a rabbinic level. However, litame regarding the animal's capacity of communicating tumah to something else, that can be explained only on a doraisa level. So the Gemara answers, betreifa. The issue of animal communicating tumah on a rabbinic level can be explained in the case of treifa, where the animal is not a tome type animal. It's not a dead horse or dead pig, but rather it's a kosher riding animal that happened to be a treifa. The Gemara asks, treifa bas timuyehi? Since when is a treifa something that communicates tumah? The Gemara answers, in kida avua de Shmuel. This is a point of information we've seen earlier in the Masechta, and that being that treifa communicates tumah on a rabbinic level, as according to the teaching of Avuah de Shmuel, the Yomar Avuah de Shmuel, Treifa Sheshachta Mitama B'mukdashim. This is a rabbinic teaching, and that is that an animal that was properly shechted, but it turns out to be a treifa, within the realm of Korbonos Mukdashim, this treifa is able to communicate tumah to a sacrifice. So, as far as defending Rav Nachman in the face of the question raised from the Mishnah, we set up the Mishnah as talking about tumah de Rabbonan. Rav Nachman was dealing with a case of tumah doraisa. Rav Nachman was explaining the case of the talis that was torn, or being torn, that was a case of a talis that happened to be tumah, tumah doraisa. And under such circumstances, Rav Nachman tells us that if you were not dealing with a talis tvuyom, we would not rely on the talis having been torn in its mere in its majority, in its rove. Toshma, once again, we raise a question on Rav Nachman. Rebbe Dustoy ben Yehuda Mishum Rav Shimon Omer Hamavshit Bishrotzim, one who is skinning a sheretz. It's pointed out that the adhesion between the sheretz flesh and its skin is a very tough, tight, strong adhesion. It's hard to skin a sheretz. As a result of that, the source says, Chibor ad sheyafshit es kulo. It's considered an attachment until it's entirely, has been entirely, skinned. We can infer, Ha begomo, eino chibor. However, if you are dealing with a camel that's being skinned, and a camel represents something that is tome, it's a nevela, and yet we see that even if it's not completely skinned, it's still not considered an attachment. Now, this is Tuma d'Oraisa. Let us glance at the Rashi, Dibur Masul Kulo. He says, Kulo chibor afilu yoser michde achiza, hanogea b'mufshot tome. In the case of Shrutzim, even if you have removed more than a kedei achiza, it's still considered an attachment with regard to Tuma and the conduction thereof. Midenokat Shrutzim, Taimo Mishum de Koshim Lahavshi. From the fact that the example here is an example involving Shrutzim, it is a function of it being hard to skin. Avo Gomol, lo. But a camel, for example, no. This conclusion would not be the same. V'afa pisha tumasa doraisa hi, even though a camel represents tuma doraisa, shiur hafshata b'chdei achiza. The shiur, the amount for skinning, is the k'dei achiza amount. V'lo gazrinon yoser m'chdei achiza mishum k'dei achiza. And we don't make a gzera saying that even if more than a k'dei achiza was removed, it still would conduct tuma. In anticipation of only a kedei achiza, the kashi of Rav Nachman de Gozar. This would represent the inference from this source would represent a kashan Rav Nachman that did impose a gzera, the gzera dilma lo osi lemevat shiur, that you might not come to do the required amount. The Gemara responds that the inference that we made should not be made. Lo tema ha begomel eno chibor. Don't state it that way, because as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, even in the case of a gomel, it would be considered a chibor, even if you did more than kedei achiza. Elo emo b'or shal hatzavor eno chibor v'Rab Yochanan ben Nuri hi. If you want to make an inference or contrast case with the case of Shrutzim, in the case of Shrutzim, we say it's considered a chibur until it's completely removed. This is as opposed to the case of an animal being skinned and the only part that remains is the part attached to the neck. There, a part of the skin attached to the neck is not considered a chibur, and that would be in conjunction with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's approach. The Rashi elaborates, Lo tema ho begomol biyoser michtei achiza eino chibor. Don't say that in the case of gomol, more than a kedei achiza would not be considered an attachment. Elo, hach diukat daikinon limute gomol. The diuk that we made from sheretz, the inference we made from sheretz, and to contrast it with camel, that's aor hatsavuhu daikinon. That's only with regard to the skin around the neck. V'hochi komar, and thusly we are to understand the source with its inference. Shrotzim hu da'adiyavshid es kulo, including the neck skin. In the case of shrotzim, the skin is considered an attachment to the animal, even if all that remains is the amount of the skin around the neck. Avol gomol shifshit ad hatzavar eino chibor, as opposed to the case of a camel that has been skinned down till the neck, starting from the hind legs down to the neck. At once you reach the neck, it's not considered attached anymore. We're talking about a case of someone skinning a camel for the purpose of making a jug and doing it with the margil process, namely starting from the legs. Ula oilam, however, in general, the shatiach, if it's a skinning not in the margil fashion, but a standard skinning method where the skin is, we'll say, sliced down the middle of the animal, and you're just tearing, you're removing the skin for the purpose of making a rug or a tablecloth, then af b'yoser mechdei achiza tamei. Even if you have removed more than a kedei achiza, there still will be a conduction of tumah. And as of course Rav Nachman taught, the gazrinon bevehema tamei. We do impose a gzera if you're dealing with a camel as opposed to a sheretz. Let's say we impose a gzera not only by shvatsim but also by camels. Hoyu v'tum also daraisa, since the tumah is daraisa. And as we said before, the only inference is with regard to the camel being practically completely skinned till the point that you reach the neck. At that point, by a sheretz, it would still be considered an attachment. By the camel, it would not be considered an attachment. So what we've done in the Gemara till this point is we have learned Rav Nachman's restriction in the case of Kriyas Roiv. We subjected Rav Nachman to a couple of challenges, and he has also been defended. You'll notice that we have now a little number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this is a second qualification of that which was taught in the source regarding the tahara of a talis. The source had taught that if rov is torn, it achieves tahara. Omar Rav Huna Mishum Rabbi Shimon by Rabbi Yossi Lo Shanu Elo Shelo Shir Ba Kedei Mafores. That in tearing the majority, the minority amount of talus that remained attached is such that you wouldn't be able to fashion a turban from it. Avol Shir Ba Kedei Mafores. If the amount that remains, even though rov has been torn, but the minority that remains is enough to make this turban, then chibur, then it still would be considered an attachment, and hence you will not have achieved tahara by tearing the majority. The majority tear, where the minority that remains is enough to fashion a mafores, will not be sufficient for achieving tahara. Omar Reish Lakish Lo Shanu, a third qualification. Lo Shanu Lo Talis, this whole din of tearing the majority as being a possible method of achieving tahara is only if you're dealing with fabric. Aval or if what you're tearing is a piece of leather, a slab or a sheet of leather that happened to be tame, and you, or a leather garment that happened to be tame, and you're ripping it, and you've ripped more than the majority, it still will be tame because cholim, because the amount, the minority that remains intact is strong. Cholim indicates something strong. A strong leather is hard to tear. It's a strong attachment. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afilu Or Nami Lo Cholim. Rabbi Yochanan is more lenient and says that even by leather, by tearing it, if you've torn rov of the leather garment, the fact that the fact that it's leather doesn't make it retain its tumah, or is also not considered strong. Before going on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our nosei, the topic heading, even though we already learned it in the Gemara, for the sake of review, the nosei says Shitas Reish Lakish. We're going to focus on Reish Lakish's approach. Kriyas Rov Moyel L'Tayer, tearing of the majority is an effective means of achieving Tara Betalis, when you're dealing with fabric. Betalis Shinitmo Avolo Be'or, but not when you're dealing with leather. Mishum De Cholim, because it is Cholim, it is a strong substance. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of double underlinings. This is explained under our Mivneh. These are Kushos al Reish Lakish. These will be cautious challenges to Reish Lakish. Mimakoros Shemem Royim, from sources in which we see the Gamba or Yesh Taraf Agab de Cholim, that even though it's a function of tearing leather or another, let's say, strong substance, we'll see a case of a tanur later on, even though the minority that remains attached is strong, nevertheless tara is achieved contrary to Reish Lakish. So the source says Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan raises an objection, or Tomei Medrash, if there was a leather piece of leather that had experienced Medrash Tumah, Chishev Medrash Tumah is a type of Tumah that when the when something has Tumas Medrash, it will communicate Tumah to people as well. It's a high level, it's a type of Av HaTumah, high level of Tumah. So if you have some leather that had experienced this Tumas Medrash, Chishev Olov Liritzuos V'Sandolim, if let us say he planned to take this sheet of leather that had been Tomei Medrash and thought to make it into leather straps or to make it into shoes. Kevon Shinosan Bo Yismel Tohor, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. As soon as he makes a cut in this sheet of leather for the purpose of making straps or shoes, it becomes Tohor. V'chachomim omrim, ad shi'amitenu mechamisha tvachim. The Chum say that a mere incision in the leather is not enough to remove the tumah, but you would have to tear it to the point that there remains less than 5 tefach still intact. The shiur of Kabbalah's tumah by or is a 5 by 5 tefach. So you would have to make a cut in it where there remains less than 5 tefachim. We continue with an inference: kimamit le mechamisha miotar. By reducing it to less than 5 tefachim, you, however, do achieve tara. Am I? Well, why should that be sufficient? Lema cholim. Why not say that the amount that still remains attached is a strong attachment? And as we saw, according to Reish Lakish, where the remainder that is attached is strong, you don't achieve tara. So the Gemara answers: ki ko'amri de cholim, when is it that we say that it's a strong attachment? Hecho de kotzori le lehedya. That's where the crack or the slice or the cut that you made into it was a straight cut. Hocha b'mayaskinon. Here, what are we talking about that reducing it under 5 is sufficient? That's b'mekatzea ubolo derech svivoisov. This is where the cutting that you're making in the leather is a crooked type of roundabout cutting, where the leather cannot be restored to something similar to its original state. The Rashi says desulo cholim shapir, that you can't. You won't be able to re-sew it into to a level that it would still be strong. Mosiv Rav Yirmiya, Hamafshit b'vehemu v'chaya b'toru t'meya b'dagu b'gaso. Once again, we've seen this quote already several times from the Mishnah. L'shotiach k'dei achiza. If you're skinning it for the purpose of making a sheet of it, then once k'dei achiza has been skinned, if you've gone beyond the k'dei achiza, it's no longer considered, the skin that has been removed is no longer considered attached to the animal. Well, ha yeser mechdei achiza tor. And as we just mentioned, that if you were to skin more than a k'dei achiza, so there would be, you would achieve a tara, meaning that the skin is no longer considered, that the skin that has been skinned is no longer considered attached. Well, Vamai, why do you say that it's no longer considered attached and hence doesn't serve as a conduit of tumah? Lema cholim, why not say, like Reish Lakish said, that you have a strong, you have a solid attachment, and as such it should still be considered attached. Tirgum Rabbi Oven, Rishon Oise Nipol. Rabbi Oven explains that when you're dealing with skinning, every amount that gets skinned, it's not ever going to become attached again to the flesh. And since it's never going to go back, it's considered permanently detached. And therefore, there's no chibor. This is in contrast with an article or a piece of fabric or an article of clothing that you're ripping. That's something that if, even though the majority has been ripped, since the minority is a solid attachment, it could be sewn back into what it originally was. And therefore, Tumah is not removed by tearing even Rov. Mosiv Rav Yosef, or Shaal Hatzavor, Rav Yochanan ben Uri, Omer Eino Chibor. The skin that's around the neck of the animal, if the animal has been skinned and that's all that remains attached, it's not considered an attachment. The Gemara asks, Amai Hocholim V'Koi, but is it not a strong attachment? Omale Abaye, Eino Seifa. Abaye says, listen, instead of asking on Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, why not support him from the Seifa? V'chomim omrim chivor. You can support Reish Lakish from the Shita Sachomim that says that it still is considered an attachment. Elo Omar Abaye. Rather, there is no kasha here on Reish Lakish from this source, but rather b'shomer ha'osli lenatek me'elov komiflegi. The Tanoim in this source, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Chumim, are arguing about the case of a shomer, a peel or the skin that will come off by itself. Before going on in the Gemara, let us glance at the Rashi. Elo Amar Abaye, is viralon de cholim. If you were to think that the attachment is a strong one, de kuli amo habichibor. Everyone, including the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, it would have been considered an attachment. V'ocha, in this particular case, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says it's not considered a chibor, taimo mishum dolo cholim, because this is not an example of something that's firmly attached. In other words, when you have the animal that's skinned and all that remains is the skin around its neck that's attached, that's not a solid attachment. V'hu she'osu natik me'elof. It's something that if you were to leave it on its own, it would become peeled, become skinned. U'b'shomer ha'osu lenatek me'elof komiflegi. And Rashi tells us that, just like the Gemara says, this is a point of controversy. How do you view a shomer? The skin is a shomer, is a protection, and hence a conduit of tumah. How do you view a shomer that will peel off by itself? Durabonan Savri, afayu hochi lo batil tera shomer mine, kol zman shelo nitak. According to the Chachamim, even though it's going to peel off by itself, it's still considered an attachment. Now, turning to the Gemara, Morasover Have Shomer, according to the Chachamim, it's still considered a Shomer, and as such, it's a conduit of Tumah. Umorasover Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri tell you, since it's going to get peeled off by itself, Lo Have Shomer, doesn't serve as a Shomer. But, just to review the main point, if we were dealing with something that is solidly attached, everyone would agree, as Reish Lakish would like you to learn, everyone would agree that it is considered a chibor. Mosiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah raises an objection from a source dealing with something called a tanur. A tanur is an oven, a stove. In this case, we're talking about a clay vessel that's cylindrical in shape. It was attached to the ground, and in the bottom of it coals were placed, and hence it was a vessel through which food could be prepared. Tanor shenitma ketzad mitarin oisoi. Let's say you have a tanor that became tome. How are we able to mitahir it, to remove the tuma? Chalko shlosha, you would divide it into three sections, not two, because if you divide it into two, so the part that is larger will be the rove, it will retain the tumah. Therefore, you divide it into three parts, ensuring that in no one part do you have a majority of the tanur. The gorer es hatfela ad shei ba'aretz, and then you scrape away the coating of it. The tfela is a type of, say, clay coating that was attached to, or applied to the exterior of the, was applied around the tanur. And this tefillah is scraped away until the ground. Rabbi Meir Omer, and we're going to be focusing primarily on Rabbi Meir, Eino tzorech lo lugros tefillah v'lo ad she baretz. You don't have to scrape away the tefillah, and certainly not till it reaches the ground. Elo memato mi bifnim me arba tfochim. It's sufficient to scrape it away or reduce it in size till it reaches less than 4 tefachim. So we have a dimension stated, a dimension at which point you can achieve tahara. Ki mimayit lo mi dalid mi hatar. Now, we have to focus on this. If you reduce it to less than 4 tefachim, you do achieve tahara. Well, am I? Why should we say that you can achieve tahara? Lema hacholim v'koyi. If you, let us say, you were to divide this tanur till a point of 4 tefachim from the ground, that is enough. Why should that be enough? Should we not say that even though it's less than 4 tefachim, the remainder that's still attached is a strong attachment? Amale Rava V'eimo Midrabanan. Rava says, why are you challenging Reish Lakish from a quote of Rebbe Meir when you can support Reish Lakish from the opinion of the Rabbanan that said Gorer Esat Fela Ad Shiyei Baretz, that you have to remove the coating down to the ground? In other words, you've split the tanur into 3 parts and peel away the coating as well, because as Reish Lakish would tell you, otherwise the remainder amount that if left on would be cholim, hence preventing you from achieving tahara. So you see from the Rabbanan a support to Reish Lakish. Elomar Rava. Therefore, Rava comes up with his approach to this tanur source so as to show us that everyone will be in agreement with Reish Lakish, and as far as the Machlokis is concerned, that refers to something else. Hachi Komar, read it as follows. Tanur Shinitma, Ketzav Metaren Oso, a tanur that became Tomei, how do you remove the Tuma? Divrei HaKol, according to everybody, Choka L'Shlosh V'Gersot Tfeilat She'Boretz, divide it into 3 sections and scrape away the coating until the ground. Well, that's exactly like Reish Lakish taught, being that unless you go to the ground, if you don't scrape it off completely the ground, the small amount that remains coated represents a strong attachment, and that would prevent tahara from setting in. Now, as far as the machlokis between the Chachomim and Rabbi Meir in this source, the haroitz shliyovo tanur l'day tuma, if you want to prepare a tanur in such a way that it will never become tamei, ketzad hu oseh, how should you prepare it from the outset that it doesn't achieve tanur status? So to that we see cholko l'shlosha v'grosot feilo ad shei baretz. First of all, the cylinder that you make, divide it into 3 parts, and if there was any coating on it, remove the coating till the ground. Rabbi Meir Omer Eino Tzorech Lo Ligros HaTfeila V'lo Ad She'eh Boretz Elo Memato Mibifnim Me Arba Tvochim. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, it's enough that it's reduced till within 4 Tvochim of the ground, and you don't have to completely remove the Tfeila. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.